Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as we continue our conversation on the conscience. In peeling back the layers of this complex topic, we can diagnose the condition of our conscience by examining doubt, guilt, and emotional turmoil that we experience, and also by being aware of rationalizing behavior so that we are not overtaken and let our conscience grow dull of hearing. So join in the conversation as we examine the condition of our conscience. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Now, Janie, I've been hearing this scripture verse given a lot lately because I think people are in fear.
Correct.
And you and I have talked about how we can overcome fear with faith.
That's absolutely true, Sharon, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why it's called faith. But faith for the Christian is also a guarantee, because our faith has an object. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, one, working in three different positions. And as we understand how each are working, our faith is solidified in the hope that it's just not a, "Oh, well, I hope it's going to work," but it is the assurance that it is a reality. And then in this verse that you just quoted, it said, you know, God's not given us that spirit. So when we're fearful, we need to have a radar go up, say, "What's wrong?" And that is our conscience saying, "Oh, something's not right
something's
in your thinking,"
right.
All right? And so then the next part of this verse says, "But you've got power of what? Love." Oh, Sharon, love's got power in it. Well, how is it manifested? Well, anytime you see the word power in the scriptures, especially the New Testament, put equated with and by the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Because the Holy Spirit is our agent for letting the world know and us know that He's running the show, and that when our hearts are overflowing with love, it's by the power of what He's doing in us. And what a confirmation to know we're getting it right when we can look at somebody we don't like, but we can love them.
Right.
That's supernatural.
Right. Or something that should cause us fear and we have peace.
That passes understanding because it makes no logical or rational sense.
Right.
But all of this is encompassed in the third quality that this verse has. But the love must have a sound mind.
Okay.
And that sound mind is really going to be built in the scriptures.
So after we give our life to Christ, we learn in the scriptures who God is. We learn right from wrong. And then our conscience is used by the Holy Spirit to speak to us about those things that we're learning. So it's by His power that we live victorious. But if we ignore the conscience or make excuses for not listening, then we can grow dull of hearing.
And I do want to say something here in case somebody's listening today to say, "Wait a minute, I haven't chosen to believe in Jesus Christ like you girls keep talking about. But hey, I am a moral strong person. I have good in me." And I'm going to say that's right. An unbeliever can still function with a conscience that chooses to make good earthbound choices. And an unbeliever can be kind. We know there are many people who have lots of money and they share it with those that are in need. They are kind-hearted. They are generous-hearted. So we want to give credence to the fact that what the conscience that is alive to the Lord Jesus Christ is, it understands what its purpose is for all of eternity.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's more of a depth.
There is a deeper depth and there is a greater hope for life after death, rather than just being a great, mighty person of renown and kindness for 70, 80, maybe 90 years, and having a love. It's not an eternal love, but having a love for friend, family, one another.
Okay.
But eventually, this conscience, which is absolute, it's going to reveal their deficit in things that have to do with their eternity. And so I guess the first one we may touch upon right now would be what we would call the defiled conscience.
Okay.
Okay? And I like to go back to Titus 1:5 that says, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled." And that's because they have no interest in the things and the purpose of why they were created. They weren't created just to do good for 70 or 80 years. They were created for an eternal purpose according to the mind of God and why He created them in the first place. And they're not following through with that. So the words that we can use to describe defile would be a sullied or to mar or to spoil or eventually to destroy, ruin, infect, dirty, corrupt, degrade, pollute, poison.
Okay.
Do you see where I'm tracking? All right. So all of these are qualities that in the end, when it talks about life and life after this life, are descriptive words of how the enemy works within a person in this life.
Okay.
If they do not have the Spirit of the living God living within them.
Okay.
Now, have I lost you or are you still tracking
No,
with
I
me?
Am still tracking.
Well, then let's amplify on a few different symptoms that sometimes a Christian might feel if they're not listening to their conscience properly.
Okay.
All right. Where we can get deceived. And here are some things. Sharon, as a Christian, have you ever had doubts?
Yes.
And you needed that conscience to let you know if those doubts had any truth to them or if it was a lie you were believing. So the conscience will help you determine that as you know your scriptures.
Okay.
Because the conscience has to have an absolute foundation. You know, I sound like I'm really preaching at you, aren't I? I probably need to back off a little bit, don't I, Sharon?
Well, no. That totally makes sense, and light bulbs are going off. So you did say on another program that our conscience has to have a foundation, and if its foundation is how we feel, then its foundation is a little...
Wobbly
for sure.
A bad rainstorm can wipe out your foundation.
Man.
Now, here is something so precious. And for anybody listening today, listen. Because if you are battling guilt, if you've ever had guilt that's been buried, but it's somewhere down deep, that guilt is not from Jesus Christ. He will put you under a need factor that you need Him, and you will be drawn to Him when it's the conscience working. Sharon, do you know we have had doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists make a very, very strong statement, and that is people who are in insane asylums or locked up because they are dangerous, or because they have just lost touch with reality, if they could get to the guilt that is in their heart and effectually deal with it, they could empty those departments of the medical health field.
Wow.
Guilt holds people in bondage to the point that they are paralyzed and they can no longer think, reason, depending on how much the enemy can load guilt up on them and up on them.
Okay. And is that why there comes in this self-punishment that we're seeing?
Yes. Emotional turmoil. And then there is, I've got to pay for my guilt. So now people get into their busyness of life trying to quiet their false guilt.
So they get busy doing good deeds?
Yes, okay. Yes. And yet they don't sleep well at night. A lot of people are with insomnia. And yet, you know, a baby, unless it's got colic, sleeps wonderfully. Why? Because a baby is not right now with conscious guilt that it's battling.
Okay.
So a baby has sweet sleep, all right?
All right. So guilt is the root problem for many of our emotional struggles.
But then the Word of God gives you the open door to relieve your conscience of that weight of your being guilty. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the conscience will help you bear the weight of that truth. And so the Word of God tells us that all have sinned, but that there is a solution for the helplessness and the hopelessness that produces that guilt. And it is that God took care of all of that in His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And when Jesus Christ said these words, "It is finished," that is, He came to do everything that God the Father had commissioned Him to do in His purpose for being here on earth.
Right.
He took care of it. And then the profound verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would take that gift can know eternal life." There is a condition to God's unconditional payment for all of our sins, and that is we must accept what He did. That's the condition to His unconditional love for the condemnation of our sin.
Okay.
When it has to do with the condemnation of our eternal life, then it is unconditional.
Okay.
But when we then walk with Him, there are conditions. And here was the first one. You've got to accept.
Right.
Okay.
So there's rules in the house.
Oh, I like the way you said that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, rules in the home, mm-hmm. rules in the house of God, rules in the marketplace,
right.
rules in the government, which we're not seeing a whole lot
right.
of.
Right.
But they're there.
Right.
Okay, well, so let's move
on.
Well,
rules for thee, but not for me. Those kinds of rules going on.
Rules for thee, not for me.
Right.
We need to get a plaque for that one, okay? All right, well, then there's another kind of conscience that can really weigh us down, and that's the evil conscience, which will practice lawlessness.
Okay.
And lawlessness is basically saying, "I'm my own final authority. I will determine what's right, and I'll determine what's wrong, and it'll be based on my own independent choices."
Or can it be based on our own personal interpretation of what God says?
Yes. There is a defiance of God's law with an intent to redefine issues that God has given us in His Word. And I have a little three-word saying there. That is arrogance and ignorance.
Okay.
When we think that we can redefine the God of all creation, the God that has ever existed and will always exist, and we think we can do a better job.
Well, we do that, and it's because we cherry-pick the scriptures to figure out what works best for us, right?
Absolutely.
This fits my life. I'll take that. That don't fit. You can keep that over there. I like this. I'll apply that. That works for me. But, oh, no, Janie, I don't want that. You know, don't tell me about that one.
So what do we do? Some of the things that an evil conscience will stand on their foundations are they will make light of sin. That was just a bad mistake. Well, it was a bad mistake, but it can cost you your eternity if you do not accept it as sin.
Okay.
We'll rationalize our behavior, and that's a way we quiet the sin in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody else is doing it. It can't be so bad if everybody else is getting by with it. So
right.
we rationalize our behavior. And then if somebody wants to come to us and point out to us what the scripture says, an evil conscience loves to argue the scriptures.
Oh,
well, that doesn't mean what it says, or, oh, well, that scripture is for the Old Testament. It doesn't apply today. Or,
okay, Janie, so you're telling me that even Christians who argue the scriptures could have an evil conscience? That's extreme, isn't it?
Well, if you put it in that context, it could be, because usually an evil conscience has got so many other negatives going, such as trying to do away with sin, rationalizing their wrong, that a Christian could be there, but I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be walking in their shoes.
My goodness.
But more than likely, this is probably a professing Christian, but not a possessing Christian. Once again, we go back to a phrase that you and I use so much. It's a matter of the heart.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So then we also try to categorize sins. Oh, well, that was murder. Well, what? You're getting upset with me because I talk about somebody else derogatory? That's just gossip.
Yeah.
That's not as bad as murder. Well, Sharon, bottom line, they both are sin and put Jesus Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some sins will have greater consequences than others.
Okay.
As far as behavior is concerned, mm-hmm. and moral laws that we live under.
Okay.
Like, you're not going to give somebody 50 years in prison for gossip. Maybe we should.
I don't know. Maybe.
But which would probably clean up our mouth a whole lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we don't think anything about giving someone who has killed several people that duration.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be careful
But we can murder somebody's character.
Oh, good point. Excellent
You just can't
point.
Murder them physically.
Physically.
Right.
But we can ruin their reputation and maybe their family, their livelihood by our mouth.
Right.
The Lord's pretty tough on the tongue.
Yeah.
So that would probably
be. Too.
And we may have
on our own tongue. Anybody else's, our own.
We may have to do a lesson on tough speaking with the tongue. So basically, these people really will find reasons to not make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of their life.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that you cannot ever have a believer that had an evil conscience, but I would have to check out the matter of the heart.
Okay.
Then we've got the seared conscience. And this is about the lowest form of a person that can live with their conscience. And remember, everybody has a conscience.
Okay.
But the seared conscience is really given to those who perform in behavior that really doesn't even hear their conscience any longer.
Okay.
This is the person who could be a mass murderer and not give it a second thought. Their conscience is without conscience.
So it's just not even talking to them at all. Is there any moral value in a person that has a seared conscience? Do they have any morals or values
If they have a moral value, it's based on their unmorality, which probably is not going to be a moral value. This is where you really get into something that we're going to be seeing a lot more of these days, and that is the boldness of deceiving spirits and the demonic. Now, in nations that have never known Jesus Christ or have a religious emphasis that is based on the Word, this behavior is very common. Having lived overseas, I have seen many activities and behavior that you knew had an evil spirit having it in control. You can see the look in the eye.
Okay.
There is a particular look. Now, where we have been ourselves deceived is that we read Ephesians 6, and it tells us that our warfare is not against one another, mm-hmm. but against the spirits that are unseen that can be controlling somebody's thinking, personality, influencing the conscience.
Okay.
But we are so naive on believing that that just really doesn't happen in our nation.
Yeah.
And part of the experiences that we've had in the last few years, we are finding that this spirit, this seared conscience, is becoming much and much evident in the marketplace, the workplace, our education, our government. So Christians, we need to get the blinders off and recognize that Ephesians 6 is as true as John 3:16.
Well, and it kind of goes back to a cultural saying that there's good in everyone. And so we have this kind of idea that how can that person think like that or act like that or talk like that? There's some good in there somewhere, right? But if they have a seared conscience, then they have totally wiped out any good that's in there.
That's true. Now, can they deceive us by acting good on certain occasions?
Okay.
Yes. Remember that the ultimate in evil is Satan, and he can appear as an angel of light.
Right.
That's why we don't ever understand the depths of deception.
Okay.
All right. So we, the body of Christ, the church of God, we have been deceived in our being naive on recognizing the dominance that the God of this world, Satan, has. And remember, God has sovereignly allowed Satan to be the God of this world temporarily.
Okay.
Because God has an eternal game plan that he is working out.
And I think we really do kind of forget that, Janie. We forget that Satan is the God of this world.
Well, and he masquerades himself so that we buy his program. And we should never underestimate his deceptive powers. We only have to go back to the Garden of Eden and to see how with his soothing words, using scripture,
right,
but misusing scripture, and being an angel of, I'm sure, quite glory and attractiveness, was able to deceive our original parents, Adam and Eve. And we can see what that deception has caused us.
Right.
All right. So we do need to be aware that there are evil conscience, their seared conscience, and their defiled conscience. But for the most part, Sharon, that is not the born-again believer. That is...
But I see some characteristics of these three conscience that could define some of my behavior.
Okay.
So how do I get past that? I know I'm a believer, so...
So where's your problem and where's my problem? We can still be battling from a weak or a wounded conscience.
Oh, okay.
All right. And that can start off, Sharon, with us as a child and our upbringing. And so we start to formulate a conscience that has some problems, but we don't recognize it because we have no other entity to compare it to. And so we don't have a solid foundation. And then as we grow with that still a weak conscience, we start to add lies and disbeliefs. And then when we really accept Christ as our Savior, we still have some of that old gunk in our thinking.
Oh, okay.
That's why the scriptures tell us to put off certain things and put on certain things. That's why it tells us to renew our mind, because if we don't, then we have filters that are not filtering.
Okay.
And so we don't get the clarity of conscience or a strong conscience that we need. And I know we don't have time today, so we'll probably need to continue this, but let's just say most Christians suffer from a weak or wounded conscience because they have not gotten into the truth of the scriptures.
Okay.
The Bible tells us that when we are under the control of the Spirit, and that is because we understand what's being said from the scriptures, we have freedom. We have liberty in our thinking because it's not being muddled with the mixture that causes us confusion.
Okay.
So Sharon, let's just see if maybe we can't continue this for the next broadcast, because there is so much to describe a weak and wounded Christian.
Okay.
Because many times, like you said, we can look like that defiled or evil.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm
getting some guilt already.
I'm getting some guilt, Janie.
Okay. And that is not from the Spirit. So let's just go ahead and extend this.
Okay.
And get into what really helps us to be set free from a weak and or wounded conscience.
All right. Sounds good, Janie. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins. along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.